Welcome to Influential Visions. My name is Tyler Cohen Wood. Here, we interview futuristic leaders to share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring that you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. And here's your host today, Nat Schooler.
Today, I'm very privileged to be joined by Ginevra Adamoli. And I think I said that right. Yeah, well, almost. But everyone likes to call you Gin, right? And you kind of like that. So that's all right. It's all good.
It's like a necessity in the United States because nobody can pronounce it. So Gin is like gin and tonic. It kind of, you know, makes people laugh. And then they remember my name.
Yeah. It's good. So you are a digital customer experience strategy director with a digital consulting team at Epsilon, which has been bought by the Publicis Group. And they're the third largest PR company in the world, right? Publicis, yeah?
Yeah, advertising. Yeah, it's about 1 year ago they were acquired. And Epsilon, what they're famous for is anything that has to do with email management tools, as well as data, ID management, their ability to, you know, collect all different type of data and then match it to an individual.
Super. So today we're going to talk about audience intelligence and, you know, where that fits really into customer experience. And I know you've got quite a lot actually of experience in this arena already, with certainly within social media as well. And yeah, I'm very interested in your opinion on that. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, I think we should start defining what it is audience intelligence, and then what is digital customer experience, and then how, you know, they work together. So we know, of course, you have talked to different people, previous podcasts that you've done about audience intelligence, and I think it's important to define it because everyone has a different way of that definition and the application. So for us, for me specifically, audience intelligence has to do with how do you collect data and customer behavior and attributes that can help them and help clients to create connection and bonds with the customer across digital channels, right? So that there is a component of a customer experience, which is this idea of interacting, customer brands interacting to make sure that they are providing this constant and continuous experience that will help customer to, you know, make a purchase, for example, right? So we like to start, of course, within digital customer experience with an audience-centric approach, right? It's all about the audience. Let's try to understand them, what their needs are, how their needs are changing, and to make sure that we're providing the best, digital experience across different channels. So that's where audience intelligence comes in. Now, I do specialize in social media, right? So the idea of how do we collect information about the audience through social media networks, it could be a forums like TripAdvisor. It could be Facebook. It could also extend to mainstream media, right? It could extend to a specific blog post, as well as radio and TV, which is interesting, right? It's like the evolution of social media intelligence. And that's done, of course, through some tools, whether they are third-party tools or then proprietary, of course, to the Publicis Group, right? So I think for me, if you're okay with that, I think it's important to kind of talk about what is that process of collecting data, because that really determines what data you're able to collect when it comes to audience and then how you're going to use it, right, for your strategy. So I'd like to talk about the limitations, because there is this idea that, we kind of talk about a social dilemma a little bit prior to the recording section. there is this idea that, oh, we can collect everyone's data. We know everything about everyone, but that's really not the case. It's not as simplistic as that. And that is very true to this idea of audience intelligence through social media. It's very dependent who you talk to, whether you're talking to someone who specializes in social media or someone who actually specializes in analytics from, you know, first party data, then you're gonna get different answer to what is the validity of your audience intelligence through social media.
Right, can I just stop you there? So
yeah,
for the listeners, what is first party data?
Yeah, so first party data is this idea that for every interaction of with your customer, a brand is able to track those action and events, and they get fed into their own perhaps data management tool. An example is I go on a site of the brand Chanel and I buy something. All that behavior is tracked. That is on data that is tracked, and it can be used to map a specific profile for me as a customer, okay? Which is very valuable because you know exactly who that individual is and the type of action that's been taken, right? So that's definitely essential for a brand to have. But what happens is, I like to talk about this example that all the first party data, it's great, it's transactional data. They tell you how much a person has spent in which category, but they don't tell you why they bought a specific product, how they felt, you know, about buying or even wearing, you know, I don't know, a Chanel bag. That information, which sometimes it's referred to soft data, it's what's power actually by social media data, right? So that goes back to, again, this idea of audience intelligence and how do we collect information that can inform your content strategy, right? Your engagement acquisition strategy, supplementing your first party data. So I would never say, oh, only do social media, right? I would say validate or add, complement the data that you already have about your customer.
Right.
To make sure that your personalization in your emails, you know, for example, will be spot on.
Right. But so what you're saying is that, let me understand, right, a bit more. So are you saying that there is not really a way to actually match those things up properly? Is that what you're trying to get to? Because I know, like, we talked a little bit about the social dilemma, and on the next podcast interview I'm going to be talking about that with Tim Hughes, right? So, and he's big into social selling and all this kind of stuff too, right? But the thing is that because of regulation, right, they can't actually follow you, or maybe they can in some areas. What's the how does that actually tie together?
Okay, so I'm going to break this in maybe in two areas. From a technical perspective, if you are a programmer, you know, if you're a coder, you know, engineer, yes, you could do that. We used to be able to do it before, you know, the Facebook scandal. However, because of GDPR regulation, the CCPA in California, it's not possible. So you can't match social media data of a customer or consumer to a specific individual that is part of your customer database. I mean, it's not legal. I mean, again, technically, yes, you could do it, but it's, you know, you should not be doing it.
Right. Right.
At least to my knowledge, at least with the tools that I've seen.
Okay. That's very interesting. So then that means that you're basically building personas again, as we've done for a long, long time, right? So you're basically segmenting the audience based upon their interests, based upon what they're saying online, and then you're in essence, you're matching these first party and second party data sources together to give you insights, which then will give the brand easier communications to who they think matches a client. How do I put this? A client, a possible client persona, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the information coming from the social media tools, it's at aggregated level again. So it's not at an individual level. So when we talk about matching, I think we need to be careful what we mean by, you know, matching to our own first party data. But I'll give an example. There are different ways that we can get audience insights from social media tools. Okay, and there are different tools, you know, Sprinklr, Synthesio, like, you know, whatever, you know, you have the usually Brandwatch, they do have some, you know, profile on our audience built in. It's definitely growing to be. I would say that just be careful, be aware of the limitation of these tools. Twitter is known to pass a lot of data that has to do with audience, you know, demographic, interest, affinity. You know, LinkedIn, for example, close all their API. So be aware if a tool, you know, tells you, oh, we can do it all and we do audience insight. Now, you know, I come from academia and I'll say that with everything there is, it's okay to have limitation. It's normal. It doesn't mean that you're not going to get good insights. And that's why it's important that you feed, you integrate this insight with other data that you have, other data sources, whether it's search, whether it's on party. That's where you're going to get your 360 view of your audience. So the process is that all these tools, and I don't know if I get too technical now, but all these tools work in a way that you need to set up key terms. You need to tell the tool what you want to listen to, what you want to track. And that needs to be in alignment with the, and you know, the question that you're trying to answer for the client. So if you want to try to get to the audience insight, you need to start thinking, what are these terms that will make me understand if someone is actually talking about them, right? Mom, right? We are able to track if people are using this term in their bio, right? Or you could say, I'm a mom. I will be a mom. So literally you have to insert, I will be a mom or I'm a mom. Anything that indicates whether you can segment someone into an audience. So those are tricks that you can use. And then you can layer into a behavior. Right, I'm expecting, you know, a baby or so on. So I just wanted to make it clear of what audience intelligence is and the capability within social media, because mm-hmm. it's different from, again, I own all this customer data. I know, you know, who they are, where they live.
That completely. It's much more valuable, right? In essence, owning the customer data, because you've got a transaction data. But then you can take what people write in their bios and what they actually talk about, and you can put them into a segment, but you can also take what they talk about as a separate kind of listening tool, right? But you need to be very careful that you're filtering out the wrong words. I mean, this is the big problem, is people get stuck. And they have all this data and they don't know what to actually type into the tool, like Brandwatch. I mean, if you don't set up a query properly in there, you know, you get stuck with all this information that's complete wasting your time, right? And you export it into a spreadsheet, like everyone seems to do. They still export these things into a spreadsheet, right?
I hope not.
Well, they do. Yeah, people do.
No, that's true.
And then they go and look at all these social media handles and say, oh, you know, and they pull these insights out when actually they're not really doing it right, you know.
You know, yeah, you bring actually a really good point, because it's a challenge that, you know, I strive to say that you need to really find someone, whether it's an agency or it could be in-house, that is not just gonna like download the spreadsheet, that actually understand how marketing works, how the customer journey works, and then is able to really dive into the data and quantify that data. So you're totally right. Like everything that, you know, I do, I try to quantify. So it's not just qualitative, right? So what is it really a trend? And I'll give you an example where I think actually social media audience intelligence is really important, and perhaps even, I mean, not more than own data, but it should complement, you know, COVID. The way that people have changed their behavior, it was so rapid, and we've done a lot of research on it on a weekly basis. It was so rapid that there is no way that that could have been captured through traditional research method, right? Because perhaps the information you have from your customer at this point is outdated, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So audience intelligence and social media intelligence can really help you to spot this signal.
Mm-hmm.
This intent of, okay, what I'm going to do, like e-commerce, okay, there has been an increase in e-commerce mention or behavior, right?
Yeah.
And that really will inform how you need to talk and communicate with your existing customers. So that to me, it's powerful.
Yeah. So do you see any other limitations of these tools in terms of fitting the audience intelligence within the customer experience?
Yeah. So I mentioned the API and, you know, watch out where they're getting the data from. Again, it's not going to be everywhere. So that's number one. And then how you integrate the data with your own first party or different, you know, data sources, whether it's, you know, search or, you know, email and so on. That's a huge, to me, that's actually becoming a trend for 2021, where there is a need for companies to really start thinking and mapping how that data will be integrated. There is still a lot of challenges in data visualization.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of silos, which is not as, you know, it's normal, but someone who is into analytics may not understand how the social media data world is. So they're not thinking about connecting and integrating that data, which again, it's really valuable to provide this 360 view of your customer.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's been, I think, you know, you probably know, right? Because we're both coming from tech. There is this idea that who owns that space? Is it the chief information officer, right? Is it the CMO? So that's going to be one of the key challenges and things that brands should think about.
Yeah, very much so. I know before we came on, you were saying, you know, how a lot of clients want to make it more granular, right? That like they want that information to go from the purchase to the actual persona, the actual person, and they want to be able to market to them, and that's not possible. So that's really good news if you want to withhold information, like if you want to secure your privacy, yeah, it's actually very good news, right? But if you're a brand, yeah, it means that you need audience intelligence. You need clever people like us to work with influencers, to work with data, and to actually give you an understanding of what kind of words to use when you're writing books, what kind of videos that you want to use, and the titles and the headlines and the search terms and all of these things that are fundamental to the whole marketing strategy, right?
So yeah, it could be even like informing media, right? Planning and strategy, informing creative as well, right? And you bring a really good point, because if you look at customer experience and how it has evolved, right? It started back in the 60s, which was, you know, super fascinating. And then as it evolved with technology, they actually start looking into customer engagement. And you know, so if you think about it, social media, right? Like the way that now customers are able to interact with a brand on different channels. And they start looking into social media and the influence, right? The customer gets influenced not just by interacting with the brand, but then by what other people are talking about that brand. And those are things that needs to be captured through, again, it could be audience intelligence or social media intelligence. And that's where that focus should be, and get that data, again, back into your own party data.
Yeah, very much so. It's not easy. I mean, I think as regulations are going to hit harder, we're going to need to be smarter. We're going to need to learn more. We're going to need to actually manage more anonymized credit card record keeping. I think I see that as being a very big trend. I've actually got an interview lined up with a CEO in the next 2 weeks. He manages a company that they manage 80 million credit card, anonymized credit card purchasing records, right, from the US at the moment. So, you know, they're moving into Europe. I think these kind of, let's call them niche data sources, shall we? Shall we call them niche data sources? Should we call them first party? I don't know what the term is for that. I would just say it's an anonymized, high quality data source, right? Is there anything else you want to add on that one?
Yeah. I would say that it's right. I consider like data, like individual customer data. Of course, yeah, if it's anonymized, I wonder if there's going to be like a new term for such.
Maybe. Maybe. I think that it takes some very smart companies to put all these things together, and it takes some very smart people and some smart programmers, right? Because it's like, you know, you can import all this data into your systems, yeah, but without having a plan of what you want to actually extract from that data, right? Like, yeah. it's all very difficult, yeah? And I think there's always going to be a room for human activity within that process, because it takes a human to actually interpret what on earth is going on, right?
Oh, I agree. I mean, maybe I'm biased because that's what I do, right? But you always need like someone who is very strategic to really connect the dots. I mean, that's, I always said that it's very cliche, but yeah, you get all this data, but if you don't connect it and make sense of it, then it's useless and you're not really doing a favor to, you know, to your business. And that's the problem that we've seen for years of silo. You know, you have a division that just does social media, and it's getting better, but when I started, it was, and you know, right, social media was, oh, it's just social media, it's just content, and it was not integrated whatsoever. But now I still see silo, but you know, now social media, the way I believe in social media data is that it should inform all different marketing strategies. It should not just inform, you know, social media, because it's again, it's research. It's like a focus group that you have. And that's really, you know, goes back to the customer experience, right? A customer experience across digital channels, then let's use social insights in combination with other data sources to really understand what that, you know, mapping is, what that journey is as well.
Yeah, very much so. And I think there are lots of people that don't know what to do when it comes to a survey. It's like, well, you want to have a focus group. They've proven that focus groups actually are guided by the most testosterone fueled individual in the room, right? So you've got a group of 20 people. No, they've proven this, right? I was talking to someone about it. Yeah, you know about it as well, right? So that alpha, female, male, whatever, it doesn't matter, right? But that alpha is steering the attitudes and the behaviors and the opinions of all the other people. Whereas social media, listening to people and actually sending surveys as well on social media, it generates massive intelligence within businesses. Yeah, I love it.
Right.
But But do you think, sorry, do you think that the problem is actually marketers who are driven by ROI and saying, well, where's the ROI in research? It's like, well, there isn't an ROI in research until you do the research. And then you turn back the clock 3 years and say, well, actually, we've increased our long-term brand value, loyalty, right, of our customers, because we listen to them and we change this and this. And we know that that is a direct, and you, so it's like a brand value. You can't directly apportion an increase in revenue based upon research. Yeah. So whoever's listening to this, like if you hire people to do some research, yeah, they're doing research. You don't ask them an ROI question, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. So I think it goes back to why do you want to use social media or audience intelligence, right? And then who is going to do it within your division? And that's going to determine whether, you know, an ROI becomes fundamental or not. So if in media, right, digital media spend, you know, I run Facebook campaigns and stuff like that, of course, ROI was very important and easy to calculate. But yeah, to your point, understanding the audience intelligence and the way you map that ROI may not be as obvious, you know, as easy to measure, of course, as a media spend.
Yeah, I mean, very much
technically,
so.
Technically, everything is possible.
Yeah.
You just need to have the right person who figure out a calculation, right? And that gets the data in and...
Yeah. Right. Very much so. But then, I mean, I suppose if you're using audience intelligence and social listening to craft your creative, and you're creating 150 or 120 different types of creative, and you're analyzing them, doing split testing, and you're coming up with some really good ROI from that, then you can almost work out, right? You can almost do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, and we do it. I mean... So an example would be, hey, we have done this research and our strategy suggests that you should be using, I don't know, a picture with a woman, right?
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe a woman who is not, maybe a woman who is in her mid 40s and maybe not as skinny as a model, right? Yeah. So that's the first starting point. Now, once you plan, once you execute the campaign, right, then you still need to do testing and optimization. You always should.
Yeah.
Because then it becomes between, okay, I'm going to run two. I'm going to see which one performed best. And, you know, there's an example. And then what you should do while the campaign, while the campaign is running, you should start analyzing the feedback from the customers who have seen the ad. What are they talking about? And there's been cases where people just have very negative sentiment around a picture, and then the clients change the picture based on the feedback of the customers, right? And then the performance just like skyrocket.
Wow. That's very interesting. Interesting.
Right. So it always go back again to this audience intelligence and listening, right? And getting that feedback that it's agile. Right. That's another thing that I love about, you know, audience intelligence and collecting and monitoring behavior on social media, that it's agile. It happens in real time. I don't have to wait for a survey to go out. Right. Maybe the survey goes out only like every 6 months. I'm actually tracking the behavior as it happens. And then I can change my strategy and tactic right away. And that will save money.
Yeah, very much so. And I think the more intelligent marketers become and businesses are, the less money they're going to waste on ad revenue, right? Spending on ad revenue. Like the cost of ads is crazy. And the more accurate we are, the better. But I agree, right. Yeah, it's an interesting world we're in. It's very interesting. And I know you've got to get. I know you've got to get to work because it's getting towards 9 o'clock. Yeah, so Real pleasure. And yeah, so if people want to find you, Jin, how do they get you? Shall I drop a link for your LinkedIn at the bottom here?
Yeah, LinkedIn or Twitter. Twitter, Ginevra Adamoli, which nobody will be able to remember. But yeah, you know, I'm on Instagram or everywhere. Have different like accounts on Facebook so people can find me. But
well, it's been a real pleasure. I really enjoyed it, and I hope everyone takes some great value from this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections, and don't forget to drop us a review.